This is Cheryl McQuaid. I'm with Lansing Fisher-Body Historical Team. Today we're at Local 602's Union Hall Conference Room, preparing to interview Marcia Dollarhite. It is December 12, 2005, at approximately 8:45 a.m. First, we'll go around the room.
Marilyn Coulter.
John Fidowa.
And Marcia Dollarhite. Could you state your name and spell your last name?
My name is Marcia Dollarhite. The last name is Dollarhite, D-O-L-L-A-R-H-I-T-E.
And what is your address, Marcia?
The address is 3540 West Jason Road, DeWitt, Michigan, 48820.
And are you married? Do you have children?
I'm married, been married for 25 years. My husband is Todd Dollarhite, and I have two children and four stepchildren and five grandchildren.
Could you give me a little bit about your educational background?
I grew up in Lansing, went to school in Lansing schools, then went out to Waverly School District, graduated from Waverly High School, then went to Lansing Community College for 2 years, then went to Ferris at Big Rapids, and got a bachelor's degree from there.
And did you do any military service?
No military service.
And the day you hired in at Fisher-Body, could you give us your seniority date and any memories of walking into that plant the first time?
I think the first time when I walked in and I put the application in, I applied for a security position and then was accepted for a position basically about 2 days later. And it was a real culture shock because I had never been in an environment like that. So when you see, first off, of course, because you start off in an office area and then you go out in the plant. So, but it was very different. I had never been around too much of anything like that.
How was it different? What was
Marilyn
different
Coulter.
About it?
At least the thing is that, say, like when I was into the out of the office area, how would it be different? The language of people, the speed of things. Was different than what I was used to, I guess. I don't know, stuff.
What was the date?
It was maybe about June 16th, 1976.
In 76?
I'm not sure on the date, but it was June of 76.
And you hired into the security department?
Correct, into security, yeah.
And that was when it was Fisher-Body plant security?
Correct.
Could you tell us a little bit about the job requirements? Was there a dress code, an orientation?
We wore a uniform, and once you were hired to do security, then you were in training for either a week or 2 weeks, and then you were out on your own. And yes, there was dress codes as far as things as far as how you could wear your hair, which partly was because of the uniform, and then it was also partly because of for safety issues, for so that back at that time you had to either have your hair for a female, the female had to have their hair up as far as so that they didn't get their hair caught in any machinery. I'm trying to think of any other things that were uniform issues. Oh, well, actually one that was kind of funny that was later. But women's security had to wear women's pants, and so obviously men wore men's. But there were differences, and I asked if I could get some men's pants, simply because they had more pockets, and I couldn't get them at that point. They wouldn't, because it's like they wanted me to wear women's pants, even though they weren't as efficient to wear them like that. And then I got it the one time when I was going to get written up was in reference to about wearing my hair, because I was going to have it in a braid instead of having it up. And they told me that that was not allowed, and then we got into kind of a problem with that. And basically, I could either agree to what they said or I could hit the road.
And were there many women in that department?
There were women that had been there previous, and at the time that I hired in, there were some women that were there. They were still in the minority, which is a change from what it is now. But I had a female security supervisor, Joe Tift. But women were definitely a minority in security.
Were there any jewelry type regulations or?
You weren't supposed to wear a lot of jewelry or anything. You were supposed to keep everything very well, either because of some of it might have been safety issues, but the other thing was because of the uniform that no, you weren't supposed to wear a lot of jewelry.
Another thing, you said that when you went out on the floor, the culture was different than what you were used to. Do you mean, where did you work before?
Well, I hadn't very much. I went from a college environment I went from college into the factory. So it was just very different.
Marilyn Coulter, you said that the language was different. How was the language different?
Let's see, either how people addressed each other, it was a little bit more abrupt sometimes, or maybe language as far as what was said to different people, as far as with maybe say swearing language, swearing that was done. I remember the first time when I realized that that when someone asked me to go out and I realized that he was married, and that was when I was single, and I was like, that was how naive, because I came in very naive, and that as far as just being dumb and naive, I think that in some ways got me through a lot of situations that if I had been not as naive, I was appalled. It was like, excuse me? that was just an environment that I wasn't used to. And then you get used to it, and then you just blow things like that off. But I was just, when you first start at something like that, how naive you can be, and then it starts to kind of get used to things.
Marilyn Coulter, so how was it being a woman security guard in the facility? Were there many women that you saw on a daily basis, or were women pretty much in the minority throughout the plant that you noticed?
There was more men than women in the shop, the same as there was in security, but there was still a fair number of women that worked there in the shop area and in the office area. The same as I think with a number of things, that you had a lot of people that were very nice, and then you had a few that were a little trickier to work with.
Okay. Cheryl McQuaid, could you maybe walk us through a day when you walked into the plant, what you went through for the day, what you did for lunch, some of the procedures that you had to follow? Did you ever do guard inspection, gate checks or train watches, or I don't know the verbiage that you would have used, but okay. That type of thing.
All right. Normally what we would do is when I would come in, we would change our clothes there at work. We had locker rooms. We would change into uniform there. We would all start in a conference area. And then if there was anything to be gone over as far as either things to check, things going on, anything like that, we would go over that, and then we would start at a certain time, then we would head out, relieve the post. Everyone had, where they would relieve someone. We had at that time, we had either where what was called plant positions, or where you'd be out in the plant and doing things, or you would be doing gate duty. Some of the gates were either involved with truck traffic, and some of the gates were more involved with processing people, pedestrians, and visitors in and out of the plant. We had a number of gates, depending on, at the time that I came in, actually, there were less gates than in the past. They had used to have gates that were like to watch for, I think, the railroad and some different things like that. We had gate 15, gate 9. Gate 15 was a pedestrian gate where people just went in and out. Gate 9 was to process truck traffic. Part of it was the thing is so that when the trucks at gate 9 would come in, we had to make sure that they were supposed to be there, that they were there at the time they were supposed to be, and get them to where they were supposed to go. In the same way as, say, when they were going out, that they had the appropriate paperwork for when they left, so as to make sure that what they took out was the right material. We had gates on the other side of the plant, gate 4X, which was kind of a different gate, because the primary thing that gate did was for what was called the body haulers. The body haulers took the bodies from Fisher Body over to the assembly plant across town, and that was the sole thing, the primary thing that gate was for. It was the watch that the body haulers went in and out, and those were huge trucks because they would carry 7 bodies in the trailer with them. And it was, you always, the drivers of those haulers always kind of rode a fine line, because they always had to do things legally, they had to do things safely, but yet they always had someone watching over their shoulder, because the thing is, those vehicles had to get over to the assembly plant, and they had to get there in a timely fashion, because if they didn't, they could shut the line down. So it was always kind of a mixed place for those drivers, because the thing is, they had to do what they were supposed to do, but yet do it in a manner that everybody would be happy with. And there was sometimes things that could happen as far as the body haulers, because they would sometimes have situations that could occur on their way back and forth, as far as the kids either throwing things at the trucks, different things like that, okay? The other thing that could happen at gate 4X is that people came in and out through there, the employees came in and out through that way. To begin with, at the gates where the employees came through, what was supposed to happen at that point was that we were supposed to check badges to ensure that people were appropriate to come into the plant and had the right access to come in. Then they would clock in once they got into the plant. That changed later, where they would have a badge which they would clock in, well, they would badge right there at the entry to the plant. That would be like if you had gate duty. If you had plant duty, you could do a number of different things. First off, you would be possibly either like doing tours through the plant. Sometimes if you needed to open locks for people, either because they forgot things or didn't have their keys for various reasons. Sometimes you had medical problems, you had fire problems, various different problems that could accrue. Either maybe someone had, there could be a disciplinary problem and you had to escort somebody out of the plant. A number of different things like that.
Can you share with us any of the problems you may have seen? Did you ever see any factory-type accidents, medical accidents, that type of thing?
There was various types of accidents that can occur in a factory, some of them that I saw little parts of. Let's see, I'm trying to think. You could have any type of a range on something like that, between where someone possibly slipped and fell. They could have pinched fingers, broken things, heart attacks. Any of that can, anything. I always, what I thought of a factory is it's the same as a city. And actually, Fisher Body was bigger than a lot of small cities. People come in and then they leave. But you still need to have the same abilities to take care of people that you do in villages, cities, and towns. You've got to have your fire, your medical, all of that has to occur because of the amount of people that you've got there. Let's see, we had a couple that were, I guess, ones that I would remember more. There were two of them. One, again, was in the back of Building 23, related to the Gate 4X with the body haulers. Two of the body haulers, in a sense, if you had ever seen those trucks in the way that they went in and out back through there, you had to be an excellent driver, and you also had to be very coordinated for what you were doing. Unfortunately, that there was this one time with some other things that were going on, but there was an accident involving some of those haulers, and they had to have Lansing Township come in order to extricate the driver of the hauler because he was pinned in the truck. So that was what's kind of interesting, in order with trying to get the help in and doing what we could do. Probably another one that was involved was when we were under construction and they were doing work, contractors doing work on top of the powerhouse and doing work between the powerhouse and what was Building 21. And they had cranes that were transporting big pipe onto that area. And one of the chains on the pipe snapped, and the pipe swung around and hit one of the security people, and hit Jim Richard.
I remember that.
Okay. And what was said many times was that it was fortunate that it hit him, because the other security person that was up there, because they were doing patrols and like checking, that if it had hit her, it would have knocked her off the roof. Because Jim Richard was a bigger guy, and if it could have very likely knocked her off, and he was off for a long time because it did a lot of damage to him on that. So those, I guess, would be two I would think of.
Marilyn Coulter.
With all the different types of things that you had to deal with as a security guard, was there any types of specific training that they really trained you for to handle those types of situations?
There was a number of things that we received training in. First aid, CPR, fire training. A lot of it was training. I figured a lot of it was training where the more that you knew about the plant, the more that you knew of what was going on in the plant, was almost as key or critical to a lot of the things that happened. If you knew some of what the people were doing in the plant, what was going on, locations of things, was equally important.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Marilyn, did you get to have much interaction with the employees in the plant?
Yeah, actually quite a bit, I thought. There was times there was, and I guess some groups that I had a fair amount of interaction with, and various groups not as much. I think the three groups that was figured that was there the most would probably, you would say, would be either security, then maintenance, and then medical. Were groups that were like pretty much were there all the time. Whether it was Christmas or anything like that, that normally those were the groups that had to be there to keep things running, take care of things. So there was a lot of interaction between those three groups.
Now, as security people, did you have rotational shifts, or were you like on a specific shift, or did you have to rotate periodically, or?
At the time that I came in, the shift that you were on was by seniority, and that was how it was held. And I know it had been done other ways in the past, but when I came in, it was done by seniority, so that you would stay on that shift, and then as you gain more seniority, then once a year, you could pick for what shift you wanted to stay on. So that, say, if you wanted to, you had people that were high seniority that wanted to stay on midnights, and high seniority that wanted to, depending on what shift they wanted to stay on, then they could pick.
So now, which shift did you primarily work?
I worked afternoons the entire time.
Yeah. And that was your preferred shift or your seniority shift?
Yep.
I want to digress a little bit. You said that you were a Lansing resident.
Correct.
But now, which school did you go to in Lansing? Which junior high or high school did you go to?
I went to Genesee Street School for grade school, and then I went to West Junior High School.
Okay. So as you were growing up in Lansing, did you know anything about Fisher Body? Had you ever been in the plant? Had you ever been by the plant? Did you know what was done here?
Actually, I knew a little bit about it, but not very much, because I went to summer school at Verlinden School, which is right next to it. So there was a little bit of just knowledge from being near it. But one thing that I always thought was pretty, I mean, that struck me, but the thing is, there was, on the front of the plant, there was the landscaping. They had the logo out front, and it was just really neat to look at. You know, they had it all, you know, taken care of like that. And then, see, my dad worked for General Motors, so I didn't really have too much to do with Fisher Body, but the thing is that once in a while I would like wait outside the gate or something when we had to pick him up or something for over at Oldsmobile. So,
okay.
The last year that West Junior was going to be open, and then we moved out to Waverly, and I went to junior high out there at West Junior at Waverly, and then Waverly High School.
Okay. I just wondered how if you had any thoughts about the building. The other thing about it is, insofar as having interaction with the employees. There's one employee that you had a special interaction with. It. Who was that?
Yeah, I guess I was trying to kind of keep track on some of what security when we were doing some major deconstruction. And, well, deconstruction is a big name for when you, like, basically do a lot of tear out in the plant. And because there was so much going on as far as with cutting and welding, that they did not have enough security in order to take care of that. So they had a group of hourly people that they trained to basically be firemen's helpers. And they would help as far as for watching areas, you know, being there with hoses, checking things, and things like that. They all wear orange coveralls. They used to call them pumpkins. There was a group of them, and so since we were all kind of like working together and stuff, and it just ended up so that one of them that was one of those pumpkins ended up one that I would kind of keep track on, and ended up being my husband. So.
So, what year did you guys meet?
77. Yeah, so probably about 77, 78.
And so you and he dated for a while?
Yeah.
Cheryl McQuaid, mm-hmm. What kind of, were there any problems from the people out on the floor about a security person dating an hourly person?
I think there was. And I think that there was a lot of times where the thing is that I would try to, we always were very firm as far as that what was going on in my work, if there was things that maybe either I didn't tell him about, there was times I didn't tell him about maybe certain things, that way so there was no conflict for him. In the same fashion that maybe if there was something where it was not something where it was not a good time for him to tell me maybe about a certain thing, we tried to kind of keep some lines on a few things. And it was still that you had to be kind of a little bit careful because there was some conflict sometimes, and there was a couple different situations where there was some serious conflict as far as between people in the plant being concerned about when things were said either to him about with me. So.
It's something else that I've been wanting to ask you. You said that when you first arrived here in the morning, you would go change and go to a conference room and kind of get updated on what's been happening in the plant, things you needed to know. Did you ever see like statistics on theft, medical things? Like what was the number one medical? Was it, I've always heard heart attack. I don't know. If I've heard it, I'm sure a lot of other people heard the heart attack on a Monday or something like that was your number one medical thing in a factory. And how were those things dealt with? I mean, were you given a heads up that, you know, so...
Do you mean as far as information?
Yeah.
I don't think it, like, when we were, like, what we would call it was, like, the squad room, would be, like, the small conference area we were in. But information-wise, I don't think that wasn't necessarily what we would go over information at that time. We might, say, have a class, and they would go over some things like that. Heart attack might be heart attack. What you had to be careful about was, say, like when it was summertime or warm weather, is would be like either because of like heat stroke, heat exhaustion. And you'd have to, because the thing is, or say that when people were working a lot, and the thing is that depending on what other things that might be occurring as far as with substance abuse, because those created problems of their own, and sometimes they precipitated or helped along other things. So you had to kind of be aware of different problems occurring because of substance abuse.
And mentioning substance abuse, did you see much substance abuse?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah.
What kind? Can you tell us a little bit?
Well, with working afternoon shift, there would be, again, I guess, okay, there would be, well, there's different kinds of substance abuse, but I think probably a more common would be either because of drinking or alcohol, marijuana. Probably, and there was, you know, some other drugs, drug-related things. But probably common one medical-wise might have been alcohol. Because either that would contribute to either medical problems, or it could contribute to discipline problems. So.
And what would you think that the reason for the second shift having the substance abuse I mean, I know you were on the second shift, so therefore that's where you saw it. But do you think that's where the problem was, or do you think day shift had the same problem?
Oh, I'm sure that probably all the shifts had problem, but I think there was some things that probably either that a number of, not all, but a number of the people that were on the what would be the afternoon or this what we called second shift, a lot of them were a lot younger. And then again, say the thing is that when you figure that the shift started at either like 4:30 or 5 o'clock, so that it was a later time, would be a couple reasons.
Marilyn Coulter.
Did you find that there was any day of the week that was worse? Is it true that Fridays or Saturdays were
Fridays
worse?
Fridays and Saturdays would be excellent, where you might have more. Another thing actually that sometimes might contribute is the thing is that say when there was times when we were working a lot of overtime. And if you're working a lot of Saturdays, if you're working a lot, because the thing is that another thing is that when people get tired, when people are tired and it's hot, those can be things that can affect people just as much too.
Mm-hmm. Cheryl McCoy. Marcia, can you tell us any funny stories, something that you saw that you'll never forget happened, or just some of your memories that you'll never forget about the plant, about the people in the plant?
I'm blank. I really can't. I mean, there was, you know, with the time that I was there, and there was a number of different situations, some of them even involving some of the disciplines that we had would sometimes be a little bit unique. Any time when you had people that were, had been drinking or something, that sometimes what might occur could either be where there were problems, or as in they would be belligerent, or they might be the exact opposite and they would be very happy and amorous, and you just never knew which way it was going to go sometimes. You know, and a lot of times it was just a matter of like how you treated people, and then you sometimes had to just, you know, it's like, okay, now you just, okay, just sit down, you'll be fine, and just wait, everything's fine. No, really, just sit down, it's really okay, just sit down, okay. And you never do, you know, when you went on something like that. Because sometimes they could turn on a dime for, you know, if they were happy with you, and then they could turn and then they would be not happy with someone else, depending on, you know, what was occurring in the conversation. And then a lot of the people in the plant were just really good to work with and things, too.
Marilyn Coulter.
Cheryl, just like, I mean, Marcia, we've gone through some name changes, but as from Fisher Body, BOC, Lansing Car Assembly, so you've had two different types of things. You've had that change happen, and I want to know how that affected you, but I know also as a security person, you went from GM Security to Pinkerton to Securitas. How did that work? How did all those changes affect Marcia?
Actually, there was more name changes probably for us than for probably some people in the plant. We were considered a part of salary. Then what they did is they changed, we had probably three or four other name changes within our group. We were like Lansing Regional Assembly. There was like a number of other names because security went from being part of Lansing, then it became part of another group. All within the GM group, before it even split off, there was these little tiny names that we had, and it became very frustrating because you didn't know sometimes even it's like, well, what's the point? Why are they doing this? And it became a little frustrating sometimes to figure, you know, what was occurring with some of this. And then of course, then when security was sold in 1993, excuse me. Yeah, 1993. And That was done in a rather rapid fashion, and it was sold to Pinkerton, which was later bought by Securitas. So yeah, it's been a little confusing sometimes when you would change names, yeah.
You had the name changes, but was there a lot of change for you other than the name?
Oh yeah, there was a lot of change that occurred because I think that security, the same as with a lot of other things in the plant, where you went from having a certain maybe way of doing things, and when some of that changed, either how people did things, yeah.
Just the manner in which things were done.
Yeah.
Different. I know within General Motors they allowed their employees to have a lot of involvement. They allow security to have involvement in the decisions that were made with your department, or was that something that was done higher up?
Oh, decisions were made higher up. There wasn't that. I don't think when you talk about employee involvement, mm-hmm. that didn't so much occur as far as on a security end.
Okay.
Cheryl McQuaid, Marcia, were you ever involved in any of the plant dinners? Did security have a dinner, or did security go to department plants out on the department parties out on the floor for dinner? And were there any dinners? Not dinners. Was there anything generosity-wise that the employees of the plant that you saw that you have a memory of?
Security would have their own dinner, same as like a lot of the other departments in the plant where they would have their own. And then many times, well, I guess maybe I don't know if I wouldn't be stretching it to say I was unique, but the thing is that because I associated with maintenance quite a bit, and so I know personally that I would go to a lot of the maintenance dinners. Maintenance had a lot of dinners. And so I would go to theirs, I would take food for theirs. And then sometimes for some of the other areas, like say that I might bring some things into, because I usually like to bring a lot of stuff in. But there was a number of different dinners and things like that.
Meryl Coulter, now I know we also did have a lot of vending inside the plant, be it food or be it Christmas items. How did that affect you as a security guard? Was it something that you were allowed to partake in? Did you partake in that? Or?
Well, you can look at it from there was a couple different ways that could be looked at. The first would be as far as, you know, that what was supposed to happen is, as far as vending was, is that officially vending was not supposed to occur in the plant. Our part of that for security was is that we weren't supposed to allow that, some of those different items to come into the plant. Now whether or not however some of them came into the plant, whether, you know, if they come in small, you know, things or something, that was hard to say. And then some of the reasons why that occurred as far as for not having vending in the plant would be either because of, so there was no conflict with the cafeteria that was in the plant, so that people would use those facilities, and also because of there being concerns as far as for safety of the items that might be out for purchase in the plant, to make sure that no one might say get sick from something in the plant. That was one of the concerns. So. Honestly, probably as far as for partaking, on some things that I know that I did, if they had, say, pops, things like that. Yeah. And what else, too?
Mm-hmm. The other thing about it is, unfortunately, I know there were a few times that we did have strikes. And how was that for you on a, well, you had two things. Number one, you were married to an hourly person. And number two, you were a security person. How did those strikes, layoff type things, when you had to deal with employees, how did that work with you?
I think there was a big difference. Maybe the time that I came in, there was not a lot of strikes, per se. But the way I always looked at things differently was there was sometimes a difference between, okay, between if you thought something was going to be a long-term thing or if you thought it was going to be a short-term, because there was a difference in the attitude of people in the plant if they knew that probably that if they were going to walk out, but they were going to be back in about 12 hours' time. There's a huge, you know, that it's like that if the national contract was going to expire at midnight and they were going, everyone was going to walk out at midnight, but from the sounds of it, the contract was going to be settled probably by about a day and a half later. Then people were, you know, pretty upbeat when they would go out, and that would, you know, that would be all right. Things that we would have to do as far as for in a situation like that, as far as for security, is that you would be looking for either to make sure that the plant was still in a safe condition for people to come back into. And two things you would be looking at would be either to make sure that nothing happened to the plant through mistake or through intention, through, say, like if someone was upset and through sabotage or something. That's why you always had that, say, after something like that occurred, if, say, like if there was a walkout, you'd do extra tours through the plant, make sure that things were turned off. One of the things that always occurred, or normally occurred, would be that, say, during a strike, there was always a handful of skilled trades that were agreed by the union that would be allowed into the plant in order to service and make sure that things were kept in a working order. You didn't want to lose the plant due to possibly the lack of an electrician or a pipe fitter of something happening. You want to keep your plant in a working condition so that everybody can come back and have a job. To me, I think during the 70s, and I get away from the strikes, but I think what affected probably a lot of people as affected people more than a strike would be when there were economic layoffs. And again, that there can be a difference between when you think it's short term and when you have no clue when you're going to come back. There's a whole different attitude as far as when you have no idea when you're going to come back. And that was, say, like during the 70s is when they came out with TRA, or the Trade Relief Act, when people were getting additional monies during that time because of the amount of, either because of energy crisis or because of the amount of vehicles that were not being made due to going out of country. Mm-hmm. So, but between short-term and long-term, there's a big difference as far as the way that things are looked at.
Okay. There are two things that, as an employee, I remember. And I was wondering, I don't know if you worked those times, but I know during my time here, we've had two blackouts. How was that? How were those blackouts for security, and were you there that time?
I'm trying to think of what if, I mean, I was at Plant 2 for the last one. It was about a year ago.
I think they had another one, 1979?
I think it was 79.
In 79, on the second shift, they had a blackout. They had a power outage where they had to let the shift go.
Okay. And honestly, I don't think I remember too much about that one. What I probably would remember more about is, say, like when we had a lot of snow and, you know, when the things that would occur when you had weather problems, things like that.
What types of things would happen with weather problems?
Well, again, the plant doesn't shut down very often because either because it affects a lot of things You have a lot of material traffic, people that are all involved in this big circle that goes around to try and, you know, what's going to happen to this, so that, say, if the plant shuts down but you still have trucks that are inbound, you know, what do you do with all these different things? But I think probably about 1977 when they had a major snowstorm that came in that did shut the plant down. And of course, it, again, being dumb and gullible, and I said that I would come in. Of course, I had no way to get in, but we'll come and pick you up. And they came and they picked me up.
Sorry.
But the thing is, again, see that because I was on afternoons, and it wasn't so bad when they picked me up, but it was when they had, and it wasn't like work came and picked me up, but it was like one of the other security people that had a SUV at that time. They weren't that big, but he came and picked me up. But of course, I had to walk out from my apartment complex and walk out to the road for him to pick me up. Well, the trick was that when he dropped me off, and of course, everything had drifted. So then I was thinking, I don't know if I'm going to do this again. So, but that was kind of interesting, because the thing is that when you have something like that occur, and there has to be a decision made as far as if you're by management, if you're going to let the plant run, you know, do you have enough people to run the plant? What are you going to do with the people that are in the plant? All these kind of things. Because we had, like, during that time period, cars that were in the lot that couldn't even get out of the parking lot. There was that much snow. I mean, it just shut everything right down. So.
Cheryl McQuaid, you mentioned that you were very close with the skilled tradespeople. Did any of the skilled tradespeople do anything for you to make your job easier? I'm trying to think how I want to say this. What kind of relationship did you have with the skilled tradespeople? What kind of people were they?
The majority of them were very nice people, and I think the thing is that it was, again, a lot of security was where you were, in a sense, walking the line, because a lot of the times these were people that you were friends with, but then every once in a while that you might have to, like on Conwell permits or enforcing of safety rules, where you might have to, in as tactful or nice a way as possible, you might have to maybe explain something that had to be done differently than how they perceived it had to be done. And sometimes that went well, and then sometimes there might be a little disagreement on something. You had to kind of walk a line to try and, you know, do what needed to be done, but do it so that they would try to agree as much as possible like that. Again, the thing is that, say, especially like with cotton wells, where the thing is that you have a group that is very knowledgeable in what they're doing with their work, but then you have someone else come in a sense, to oversee their work, that can sometimes in itself cause types of conflict because of that.
Could you explain to me, what is cut and weld?
Sure. Cut and weld has to do with that in the plant, when maintenance would do work for, if they needed to either build something, fix something, tear it apart. Cutting would be that, say, like with a torch, when they needed to maybe, say, cut a section out or cut some metal to change it. Cutting, welding, grinding, all of that would require a permit in order to make sure that the area and whatever the work was something that was safe for them to do. Sometimes there might be either, you know, things that needed to be changed before it was a good thing to do. That's what cutting was. Welding, whereas like that was where like you would be welding to put something together. Grinding, where you're using, where you're grinding it out, either grinding welds out, different things like that. And it's just, the thing is that you have, you know, same as with a lot of different people, you have some people that were very experienced and knew very well how to do different things, and you had different levels of experience for doing things, different conditions and environments that sometimes were good to do this type of work in, and then some of them where you needed to make adjustments in order to make sure that the work was done safely. A lot of the concern we had would have been, say, for our paint department, as far as what they did in the paint department and to make sure that you didn't burn the plant down.
So a cut and weld required a permit for safety reasons, make sure they weren't near explosive stuff, that type of thing?
Correct.
Okay.
That there was no flammables by it, that you didn't have, like especially because with Fisher Body being either a 1, 2, or 3-story building, what you always watch for is that, say, like when there was work done maybe on, say, second or third floor, that you didn't have, say, sparks that went through to the levels below, things like that. And then, of course, that, say, when you had a paint department that was above a body shop, that you didn't want any liquids, fumes, anything like that, that might be able to travel down into an environment where you had sparks from a body shop, too.
Marcia, Maryland Culture, I want changing the wheels again. A lot of times people think that security, General Motors, Fisher Body Security, has anything only to do with General Motors. There are some things that the security used to do for the community. Can you tell us a little bit about some of those things, how we affected the community, how you helped? I know we did some things for the school children and things like that. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, one of the duties that was done on the afternoon shift was that because of the time that the Verlinden Street School got out of school, and then with the people getting out of work, we would go up and make sure that the kids got across the street safely to make sure that there was no problem that way.
Were there any other types of things that you did to help the community, people to help the community stay safe?
There was various times when either you may have things that might occur around the plant, either on the periphery of the plant, and whereas like you might need to make contact with fire or police agencies in order to get help coming to people, because we were there and we were seeing when things might happen and something, we would be able to sometimes more quickly be able to call and say you've got an accident, you know, at this corner or something like that, you know, go ahead and call the police right now, things like that.
Okay.
Cheryl McCoy, what did you think about the gate collections? We had the Marines out there for what, Toys for Tots. Did that cause any problems security-wise, having all these different people standing around the gates?
I don't think it was so much a problem when they were standing right at the gates for the pedestrians. What you had to be careful about is to make sure that, say, that they didn't interfere with any of the truck traffic or anything like that. You spoke of, I think, Toys for Tots. You had Toys for Tots. You had Old Newsboys. I'm trying to think. Those are the two big ones at Christmas time. And again, the thing is that you had various other things depending on if there was other situations that had come up where they would ask for money for things.
Marcia, is there anything that we've not asked you that you'd like to share with us?
I don't know, I touched on a little bit, but the thing is that to me, the huge thing that really struck me as far as with working at Fisher Body, and I think it's true of a lot of places, but the thing is that it was literally like a small city. And the thing is, as far as the people that you got to know, and because it was literally you were building relationships with people that you saw more than your relatives. that were there all the time, and it just was just a very shame to see when it plant had to close.
The plant is closing. How did it affect you to know that the plant was closing and that they're going to tear it down?
I think it bothered me to think of them closing it and then taking it down. And I think especially after seeing how quickly that it seems as if they are proceeding with closing it, again, is almost an indication of changes in how things are done management-wise. Almost as if sections have been like written off and they just simply want to close the chapter on it, I think.
Okay.
Thank you so much for spending some time with us and letting us talk to you.
Okay.
Thank you.